room and hear. Thank you. Okay. Get things situated here. Lord, we do thank you. We rejoice in you, in your goodness, in your grace, in your loving kindness, day in and day out, moment by moment. As we spend this time together as your people in your word, let it be with honor and reverence unto you, and that you are receiving the praise and the adoration that you alone are due. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please stand as we declare the Shema and together in honor and recognition of being before Jehovah in His holy and awesome presence. The Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavtat Adonai Eloheicha, Ve'akol Lecha, Uvekol Neshevcha, Uvekol Modecha, Ve'ahavta Racha Kamocha. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your spirit, making it the course of our walk on this earth together in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. 1 Kings 7:51. Thus all the work that King Solomon performed in the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things dedicated by his father David, the silver and the gold and the utensils, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. As we continue this morning with our consideration of this passage, let it be with that humble thankfulness in our hearts unto the Lord for the parentage that he gave us, in terms of bringing us into the place before God that is ours this day. Our parents were not perfect in the sense of their humanness. They had their flaws and their sins before God, as do each one of us. However, they were perfect in the truth that they were and are exactly the parents so chosen by God for us, even with their failures and their foibles, as we are to our children with our failures and our foibles. Each parent is the perfectly suited one for the succeeding generation to follow. There are characteristics of each parent which are carried forth in the children and in the children's children. Admittedly, there may be those negative facets which should not be brought forth in terms of those flaws of character and those habits which serve to propagate elements that are unacceptable in the light of our current modern society. As much as the political correctness of this day wobbles with its continually wavering sense of right and wrong, it is still right to offer the Lord utmost thanksgiving for the parentage of our upbringing. They were and are His instruments in our encouragement to seek God to be our perfect Heavenly Father through His choice of these guardians of our childhood as they prepared us to be the adults in the Lord this day. Solomon was a prime example of one whose father paved the way for his success with the building and the supply of what was needed for the completion of the temple of the Lord. David had made every provision for his son to do that which was required to bring this blessing unto Jehovah. The father had prepared everything for the son to accomplish that which had been the concerted effort of the construction in the city of Jerusalem. The temple was to be the dwelling place of the Most High God for the sake of His presence to be honored and revered. It was to be the physical location for the citizenry of the entire nation to meet with the Lord God Almighty. This preparation had been undertaken long before David. It was established by the Lord through His chosen people as evidenced in the very initial battle of the conquest of the promised land. This was as Joshua was besieging the first city of occupation, Jericho. Please open in your Bibles to Joshua 6, 19 and 20. It is here that the gold and the silver was already being set aside for the treasury of God. The captured items would be melted down, purified, and forged into the very articles of the service of the Lord. These would be considered holy unto Jehovah and for His honor and for His purposes alone. There was a dedicated consecration of these elements as unto God for that which would show forth His glory and His praise in the placement of them into the treasury of the Lord. Joshua 6, 19 and 20. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and priests blew the trumpets. And it came about when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Thus, this sense of bringing the very best of the silver and the gold and the valuable items of metal unto Yahweh, yielded unto His service, became fully part of the accountability for King David throughout his work of the enlargement of the nation's boundary. Each time the army of Israel went forth to overthrow another of the bordering peoples who were to be utterly conquered and subdued by the nation of the Lord, the most valuable of the plunder was designated and assigned by David to the building and the supply of the temple. This added to the necessary stockpile for when his son would so construct and provision it unto Yahweh. Consider what we have before us in 2 Samuel 8, 7 through 12, in terms of how the father was making every prerequisite in the gold, the silver, the bronze, and all the most valuable of metallurgy for the sake of the service of the temple of God. This meant that there would be no lack whatsoever of everything that the Lord would require as the temple would be built and be furnished with all the necessary implements of worship and sacrifice in honor unto God. 2 Samuel 8, 7 through 12. And David took the shields of gold which were carried by the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem and from Bethan and from Berathai, cities of Hadadezer. David took a very large amount of bronze. Now when Toai, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, Toai sent Joram, his son, to King David to greet him and bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer, defeated him, for Hadadezer had been at war with Toai. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, of gold, and of bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated from all the nations which he had subdued, from Aram and Moab and the sons of Ammon and the Philistines and Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rahab, king of Zobah. Everything was taken and given into the treasury as for the Lord. In an additional passage of Scripture, 1 Chronicles 18, 7 through 11, we again have this detailing of the heart of David repeated for that which would bring honor and praise and adoration unto Jehovah. This was such a matter of importance unto the Lord that it is recounted again in terms of how much it involved David and how important it was to Jehovah, to Solomon, to the nation, and essential to Solomon. This was with respect to having everything that was required to so build and maintain that temple in absolute holiness and honor unto Yahweh. 1 Chronicles 18, 7 through 11. And David took the shields of gold which were carried by the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem, also from Tibhath and from Hanun, cities of Hadadezer. David took a very large amount of bronze with which Solomon made the bronze sea and the pillars and the bronze utensils. Now when Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, he sent Hadadaram, his son, to King David to greet him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and had defeated him. For Hadadezer had been at war with Tou, and Hadadaram brought all kinds of articles of gold and silver and bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord with the silver and the gold which he had carried away from all the nations, from Edom, Moab, the sons of Ammon, the Philistines, and from Amalek. Then in 1 Chronicles 26, 22 through 28, it is related to us how these dedicated elements of honor to God were to be cared for and allocated in use by those specific men who had charge over these treasures. And they took that opportunity to train their sons in the handling of these treasures unto the Lord. They could not be just used by as any man might want and decide to use for the general terminology of being in the Lord's service. There were specific parameters that were detailed within the family that was chosen before God to have the responsibility of the care and the keeping and the allocation for use of that which was put into the treasury of God. 1 Chronicles 26, 22 through 28, the sons of Jehoiada, Jedutun and Joel, his brother, had charge of the treasures of the house of the Lord. As for the Amorites, the Ishurites, the Hebronites, and the Uzalites, Shabuel, son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was officer over the treasures. And his relatives by Eleazar were Rehabiah, his son, Jeshiah, his son, Joram his son, Zichri his son, and Shelomoth his son. This Shelomoth and his relatives had charge of all the treasures of the dedicated gifts which King David and the heads of the father's households, the commanders of thousands and hundreds, and commanders of the army had dedicated. They dedicated part of the spoil won in battles to repair the house of the Lord, and all that Samuel the seer had dedicated, and Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah, everyone who had dedicated anything, all of this was in the care of Shelomoth and his relatives. Notice, there was a great responsibility set upon each of these families to so honor God in the care and the custody of that which was set into the treasury, entrusted unto them for the use of maintaining and supplying the needs and the upkeep of the house of God. What was so installed into the treasury was solely for this Jehovah directed. Each generation, from father to son, was consecrated to do only that which would so bless and be of service to Yahweh and the dedication of His honor with all reverence and fear before Him. The treasury had been built through the consistent effort of all those who so wanted Jehovah to have those elements of human effort and craftsmanship that would bring Him that glory and that worship. From Moses and Joshua through David and Solomon, there was a concerted endeavor to put into the treasury all that would be to the adoration of the Most High, Holy, awesome God of the nation, the only true and living Lord and Creator of all that has been created. This was a monumental task which spanned the history of the nation which God had formed from the heritage of Abraham onward. From father to son, to grandson, to great-grandson, etc., generation after generation, the veneration and the glorification of God was at the heart of this undertaking. This came to its fruition with the installation of Solomon upon the throne of that nation, as prepared by David his father. Please hear what the heart of this father carried forth for the work of his son, as we read 1 Chronicles 28, 2 through 19. This is the declaration of King David made when announcing that Solomon would be the next king of Israel. David proclaimed that, and he listed all that he had done, everything he could, to prepare for Solomon's building of the house of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28, 2 through 19. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brethren and my people. I had intended to build a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, so I had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you are a man of war and have shed blood. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be a leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among the sons of my father, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, your son Solomon is the one who shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. And I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances as is done now. So now in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek after all the commandments of the Lord your God, in order that you may possess the good land and bequeath it to your sons after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. As a quick insert here, notice, in the midst of announcing to the whole nation, David was still instructing his son Solomon, before all the people, how he should be seeking God with all his heart. Now, listen to what King David sets before Solomon as that encouragement and all the detail of what he has prepared for his son to do. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act. Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple, its buildings, its storehouses, its upper rooms, its inner rooms, and the room for the mercy seat, and the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, and for all the surrounding rooms, for the storehouses of the house of God, and for the storehouses of the dedicated things, also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, and for the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the utensils of service in the house of the Lord, for the golden utensils, the weight of gold for all utensils for every kind of service, for the silver utensils, the weight of silver for all utensils for every kind of service, and the weight of gold for the golden lampstands and their golden lamps, with the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, and the weight of silver for the silver lampstands, with the weight of each lampstand and its lamps according to the use of each lampstand, and the gold by weight for the tables of showbread for each table, and silver for the silver tables, and the forks, the basins, and the pitchers of pure gold, and for the golden bowls with the weight for each bowl, and for the silver bowls with the weight for each bowl, and for the altar of incense refined by gold by weight, and gold for the model of the chariot, even the cherubim that spread out their wings and covered the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. All this, said the Lord, made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the details of this pattern. He laid everything out for his son and gave him everything that he could give so that this temple would be completed. I don't know about, you know, how you have understood it. I always kind of thought Solomon was the one who designed the temple, but everything was laid out and prepared for him by his father, whose heart was after God, and he had received it all from the Lord. Let us take into consideration that it was such an important reality of the honor of God that it was put into place in Scripture again, as in 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 9. The heritage of God is defined in these hearts, which were so unto him as to make every provision for that which would bring Yahweh all glory and praise. Everything concerning the work of Jehovah was the priority of these fathers and passed it down to their sons in their every manner of doing anything that could be done in the continual service of the Lord God Almighty. 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 9. Then King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now with all my ability I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony, and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones, and alabaster in abundance. And moreover, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I have already provided for the holy temple." So notice, he had set aside all the gold that we've talked about, but then in addition, he set into provision out of his own personal treasury. This list now comes from what King David personally owned. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings, of gold for the things of gold, and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the rulers of the fathers' households and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds with the overseers over the king's work offered willingly, and for the house of God they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of brass and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. For they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly. The fact of the matter of how we present our hearts unto God is set in the core of our making Him the utmost priority of our lives. How much does it mean to us that the Lord receives the full measure of the commitment of the work of our hands? Does it matter to us so much we commit ourselves completely and wholly unto that which brings Him the praise that He alone is due? Or are we more concerned with those things that bring us pleasure and enjoyment in this age? Can we say, along with David, that we are doing everything that is humanly possible to ensure that our heritage will so honor God? Is this dedicated and consecrated love for and honor unto the Lord impressed upon them by the manner in which we live our lives before them? Is it manifestly evident that everything we do is in service unto God and for the glory of His name and not our own? What is the legacy that we will leave for our children, our grandchildren, and even our great-grandchildren? Will it be to the upbuilding of the testimony of God on this earth? Will it stand the test of all eternity? Or will it simply dissolve, as does everything that is built for the sake of our name and our earthly reputation? How much is our testimony one which is filled with utmost reverence and honor and fear of the Lord today and always? So be it. Thus, all the work that King Solomon performed in the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the dedicated by his father David, the silver and the gold and the utensils, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Amen.